Freddy Fox and the Umbla Glooper Machine. Here is the story of the day when Freddy made his first foray into the town to take his fill of food not found on Ten Tree Hill. Adventurous and wayward Freddy decided he was more than ready to venture forth and leave the den to brave machines and hostile men, and thus to casually dispense with what's considered common sense. He thought from trash cans he could pry some food in now such short supply.
"Freddy," said Foxglove, "take that tack. I promise you, you won't come back." "Be smart," she said. "Just stay with me. I've Riss Old Rat on toast for tea."
But, Freddy thought, one can grow plump scavenging a rubbish dump. Besides, those humans, if you can't beat 'em, let's steal their leftovers and eat 'em. That very night, the world asleeping sees Freddy from his burrow creeping. He tippy-toes towards the light of street lamps illumining the night, and not a motor car in sight.
"We spoke too soon! Oh, help! Oh, fright!"
For Freddy, coming round the bend, nearly met a fearful end. A monster hooting zoomed right past. Freddy thought he'd breathed his last.
"If only I'd the warnings heeded, where is Foxglove now she's needed?"
And then ahead he spied with dread a pole with eyes, one shining red. It stood there looking lean and mean, then changed to amber, then to green. The monster paused and then proceeded. Poor Freddy all his courage needed, and barely had the monster sped when, help, the eye changed back to red. He shook with fright. He had been wary. What else would happen that was scary? Then right across the street he saw a massive, towering building soar, belching fumes into the night, and every room ablaze with light. But nothing could possibly outshine the bright, fluorescent, coloured sign. Umbla Glooper, Cola, New, the drink that makes a man of you. Wow, he thought, please make my day. Who wants to be a fox cub anyway? Who'd crawl on four paws in the night when he could drive and stand upright? Umbla Glooper, Cola, phew, the drink that makes a man of you. If I could scrounge a drink or two, I could then say a fond adieu to sleeping deep beneath a tree and say hello to luxury. Oh, the thrill and expectation. Oh, the quiet anticipation. No more fear of hunt and gun. No more green toad underdone. No more hunting in the cold, just that drink, and then behold, his fox cub ears and whiskers changed, his tail and snout quite rearranged. Freddy thought, I have to wangle a careful look from every angle. This building must be quite a place, home to a godlike, gifted race. And just a sip from some tin can transform me into upright man. A fox-turned man. Oh, bliss, how super! And on account of Umbla Glooper. 100 electronic eyes watched the human passerbys, and guards drank surreptitious scotches and kept bored eyes upon their watches, but didn't think to question why a fox well-dressed was passing by upon all fours, with a whiskers trim, his waistcoat rather suiting him. Like all dull thinkers, they'd expect a visitor to be erect. So Freddy, with audacity, walked briskly past security, and picking up a clipboard, he marched straight into the factory, which illustrates a worrying trend, for criminals can now ascend to offices, meeting rooms and stores by crawling in upon all fours. He had gained admittance quite a coup, and now was dazzled by the view. How could one be non-committal before this shrine of capitital? This producer of fine merchandise, this champion of free enterprise. From this great hive of industry to people's yearning to be free, to the four corners of the earth is sent a zillion dollars worth of umbla glupa, blessed goo, that makes a brave, tough man of you. So what if they are secretive about a certain additive? The point is that it gives enjoyment and offers local full employment. From where he stood, young Freddy could but dimly spot, was it or not, the farthest wall, so faint and small, of this giant multinational. And in the middle, oh the thrill, stood the umbla glupa mill, glooping out, for all its worth, the greatest soft drink on this earth. Great ratchets clank and buckets pour, and water slops the steam galore. Machinery grinds, and treacly stuff goes oozing in as engines puff. White-coated men sip from a bowl, clearly quality control. So studied and so serious you would think they'd vital things to do. Each had on his resume tasted soda pop all day. Upon the wall, a declaration, the values of the corporation. Blood, sweat, toil and tears maximise the price of shares. So on the workers is the onus of rendering safe the boss's bonus and making sure share value rises when he his options exercises. Workers work 12 hours a day with only 2 weeks' holiday, and when at last they come to quit, they're far too old to benefit. That said, thought Freddy, I prefer shoes and hats to paws and fur. So no more talk, I'm overdue for drink that makes a man of you. Most people would just take a look and hurry home and read a book. But Freddy, brave and undeterred, his wish for change now hugely stirred, picked up an attaché case and strode in as if he owned the place. Near the machine he stood by awed, for from its mouth the dark goo poured, and down a chute it gushed and gurgled. How, Fred thought, could this be burgled? Nothing offers greater thrills than jamming things in glooper mills, more thrilling for a fox and such, than touching things that say, don't touch, for it can cause more ballyhoo than you'd imagined hitherto. Freddy, who had guts galore, darted fast across the floor. Seizing a spanner in his teeth, he hurled it, just so, underneath a gleaming giant revolving drum made of aluminium. Grind went drum, and crash went gears. A plume of white smoke now appears. But worse than that, a mighty slew of sticky umbla glupa goo broke like a wave upon the shore, enveloping the factory floor. And as the liquid level rose, nearly reaching to his nose, he tried to paddle, but the stuff just wasn't watery enough. Just then, resourceful little fox, he reached the main controlling box. He pushed some levers to and fro with no idea which one to throw, and watched as umbla glupa poured from other vats where it was stored. Now firemen came, and waves of water swooshed around from every quarter, and what was once a local leak grew like a flash flood up a creek. The shouts, the bells, the screams and yells, as up the umbla glupa swells, up machinery, over walls, creating little glupa falls. The manual of operations lacked commands for such occasions. So as the depth of glooper grew, the staff had no clue what to do. Some thought, nil desperandum, and sat and wrote a memorandum. Others blamed the poor resources and how they'd been away on courses. But consensus was, however fleeting, they had, of course, to hold a meeting. Meanwhile, nothing leaked at all through window, door, through duct or wall. The factory was sealed so tight, in case some wicked alien might, by hook or crook, devise some plot to enter in and steal the lot, the magic liquid that since birth has been the greatest drink on earth. Unless you had a printed docket, a ball pen in your left breast pocket, and unless a clipboard was in hand, entry was completely banned. Dressed thus, the manager of the plant, opening the entrance door aslant, freed the pent-up liquid thus, shh, in a glooping, gurgling, glutinous rush. Out flowed a desk and office chair. The supervisor in despair. And men white-coated all in pairs. Singing psalms and muttering prayers. Reports and files now all gone brown. And cogs and flywheels upside down. And high upon the cresting wave came Freddy Fox, now looking grave, drinking glooper as per plan, still hoping to become a man. And at that moment, how did Freddy, thrashing, frantic and unsteady, really feel about events? Were his feelings fraught and tense? Did he wish for Foxglove, who would tell him clearly what to do? Did he think, oh, the ordeal, it's 4 hours since I've had a meal? No, for drinking Umbla Glooper thus, he'd grown the size of half a bus. For Glooper's full of sugar and makes you rapidly expand. Oh, and gives you spots so unattractive and makes small foxes hyperactive. Such excesses of adrenaline that doctors treat with Ritalin to deal with the indiscipline. Behaving as a boar behaves, Freddy bobbed above the waves, which bubbling, foaming, barely slowed, until it met a major road. Before it had advanced too far, it had engulfed a motor car, then proceeded to deliver the whole grim mess into the river. Freddy, as he rolled and floated, felt queasy, sickened, green and bloated. His four legs pointing to the sky, he now began to wonder why he'd been a single-minded fan of changing from a fox to man. If being nauseous is part of it, then that's the end. I'm going to quit. In due course, our small omnivore rolled up safely on the shore. Down by the pool, above the weir, he made a hoped-for landing there and rolled around until discovered, still with Umbla Glooper covered, and 20 times his normal size, with minute head and pinpoint eyes. Foxglove said, "What is it? Stop! Is it a giant lollipop? A balloon or advertising notion? Or a Disney-type promotion?" Freddy's answer, well received, left Foxglove happy and relieved. "No, I'm a fox, and now I'm ready to resume my former life as Freddy. No more trips to town for me, no monsters and no factory. I'll take the hunger and the knocks and stay for life a simple fox." Should you spot a sphere, a fox, swimming round among the rocks, he isn't there on holiday, but trying to wash the gunk away and thinking, "I'd be right to sue, for all the time they really knew that Umbla Glooper, blessed goo, could never make a man of you."